This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The lack of reciprocity contributes to our large and persistent annual trade deficit that's gutted our industries and hollowed out key workforces.
Yeah, Caroline Leavitt there yesterday talking about these tariffs and the real impact they've had on America over the years. What in the world has taken them so long to get around to trying to even the playing field? I don't know. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. In here with Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman, Susan Thomas with your traffic for you this morning. Happy you are with us on this Wednesday. It is Liberation Day. That's what the White House has phrased it. Liberation from, hopefully, eventually liberation from some of these high tariffs around the world. And there's lots of reaction to it, for sure. We've got Amanda Head with us this morning. She is the host of Furthermore with Amanda Head, the podcast, and a White House correspondent for justthenews.com. Amanda, welcome in.
Thanks so much for having me. Happy Wednesday.
Yeah, happy Wednesday to you. You know, earlier I referred to this maybe not as Liberation Day so much as Freedom Day for American companies who hopefully, after however long this battle takes, don't face 200% and 300% and 500% tariffs on their goods when they send them overseas.
Yeah, you know, I think that President Trump actually is still determining exactly what is going to be the course of action, because, you know, there's so many dynamics. You look north of our border in Canada, they are dealing with an election right now, so they are somewhat distracted with that. But the thing with reciprocity, and I feel like this is something that should be a major part of their messaging, not only is reciprocity what is fair, because you look at America's history of aiding other nations, and I'm not saying that we should step away from all of the assistance that we give other nations, because we are a benevolent country, and that is how we have been since our inception. However, there's a point at which you reach the place where other nations are taking advantage of you, and we have had presidents in the past who have just kind of been okay with that. I don't know if it was laziness because they didn't want to upset the apple cart. I don't know if it was corruption because they, you know, their palms were getting greased themselves. You know, in some instances, I'm sure it was foreign policy issues. So I don't know what the issues were in the past, but we have a president now who has been given a very big red restart button on so many issues, on immigration and especially on the economy. And I think one of the best ways to look at this is, you know, and this is like what the press secretary said yesterday. She said this is investing in our children and our grandchildren, making sure that they have jobs in the future, making sure that wealth is here in the United States and that we are not dependent on other countries. And what I would love to see them frame this as is, yeah, there might be a little bit of like a slight uptick in the prices that you pay, because we're going to be, it's either going to be a tariff or you make your goods here. So there might be a little uptick in the price, but it is not going to be anything compared to what you had in Bidenomics under Joe Biden. That economy was positively crushing to everyone. You know, you had food prices increasing. Obviously, egg prices, thank goodness, have gone back down. But the gas prices, I'm in D.C. now, but I was in Los Angeles up until February. That's where our home base is.
Yeah.
And our gas got up to $6.77 a gallon. It's just unbelievable. And for people who are moaning and groaning about, oh, well, this is going to increase prices, I don't remember you guys having a problem with 19.5% cumulative inflation under Joe Biden. So let's make sure that we keep our arguments consistent. But as we often find, they are as consistent as oatmeal raisin cookie batter. So.
That sounds good right now.
Yeah.
Amanda, have you heard any chatter about what these tariffs could look like? Because they've kept this pretty secretive up until this point.
So I have. Everything that I have heard is on background, so I'm not at liberty to say that yet. But President Trump is focusing on certain sectors. I do know that. And with respect to the steel and aluminum tariffs, I was speaking to someone yesterday who is very involved in the negotiations on that front. And we were actually talking about the immigration aspect. Well, not necessarily immigration, but the Border Patrol aspect of that as far as customs. And, you know, President Trump, because he is a law and order president, because he stands by not only our troops, not only our men and women in blue, but also our men and women in green, they have been talking about the recruitment cycle that they have been going through for CBP. Because whereas under Joe Biden, you had CBP officials operating as travel concierges at the border, sending them here, there, and yonder within the interior of the country. Now you're actually going to have more force at the border to make sure that you're inspecting and approving packages and parcels and imports properly. So I think that the steel and aluminum is going to play a huge factor into that. But President Trump, you know, he's going to have this afternoon. And let me tell you, there is a coalition of folks up on Capitol Hill in the transportation industry who are keeping a very, very close eye on this. But at the end of the day, this has long-term good ramifications for Americans. 5 years, 10 years, 20, 50 years down the road, we are going to have these industries back in the United States. We've got $5 trillion worth of investments and repatriated businesses coming back to this country.
Yeah, I could not agree with that. More. Amanda Head is our guest this morning with justthenews.com. You know, another story I know you've been covering was that hearing last week with, it was really a disaster for NPR and PBS. What listening to them deny making statements about President Trump and claiming they didn't remember tweets they put out calling him a despot and all that. I don't think that is going to fare very well for them in Congress. What are you hearing?
Yeah, you know, I think that their epitaph was written last week. These are two organizations, and look, NPR actually spurned out of the Watergate hearings. You had two gentlemen who were doing extensive coverage of Watergate. That spun into their own show, and then that spun into PBS NewsHour. PBS, I think I said NPR earlier. So you've got these two organizations that have, in the past, supposed to have been for public interest, for, you know, news on one side, and then on the other side, the kind of fluffier stuff like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and all of that, Sesame Street. But the issue is, and this is something that was one of the emphases of this hearing, and President Trump actually spoke about it the day before in the White House office, there is so much coverage anywhere and everywhere that you can find, not only for news, but think of all of the kids programs that are coming out nowadays. We just had Kirk Cameron on the show last week, and he was talking about the new show that he is doing with Brave Plus. Brave Plus is the streaming platform that is a subsidiary or a piece of Brave Books, who's put out a bunch of great kids books. So Brave Plus, and you've got all of these other platforms out there that have pure good content. And look, it doesn't have to beat you over the head with conservative values. I don't care about that. I just want to go back to the days when I don't have kids yet, but we will have kids. And when we do, I want to be able to show them cartoons and stimulating, educational, witty, fun things. And I don't have to worry about them being indoctrinated or inculcated thinking that this country is 90% gay. Because you look at the commercials in this country, and considering all of the gay couples that you see, and look, I have some very dear friends who are gays, and they will tell you the exact same thing. This is not reflective of the population's general demographic on a whole. Why are we doing this? And certainly, why are we pushing it on kids and putting these commercials in kids' programming? So there are plenty of other places to find this without putting it on the taxpayer dime.
I could not agree more with that. Amanda, where can people find your podcast?
Absolutely. On all of the major podcasting platforms, it's called Furthermore with Amanda Head, and you can find me on all of social media pretty much at Amanda Head.
Excellent. Amanda, thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Yeah, great day. Great getting her on here. She's right in the middle of it up there in D.C. now, and she's absolutely right on these tariffs. We'll find out today at 3 o'clock. Sounds like she's got a little insight on background that she just can't share quite yet. Coming up, we'll get to our friend Genevieve Wood. Of course, lots going on with the folks at Heritage, not the least of which taking a look at some of these mind-blowing numbers from Social Security that got released this week. We'll talk to it over with Genevieve when we come back.
Once you're in the country, you can apply for a work document. And then Social Security Administration automatically sends you in the mail your Social Security number.
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
All right, Genevieve Wood from Heritage on the phone with us this morning. Genevieve, I watched that clip. I watched all 14 or 15 minutes of it, however long it was, as that Antonio Gracias described what he and Elon Musk had uncovered at Social Security. And it's worse than anything I ever expected, I just have to admit.
It is.
I thought it was bad, but I had no idea the lengths they were going to bring people in, suddenly treat them as if they had some right to citizenship, and then give them Social Security numbers and then register them to vote.
I guess that once I heard that we were giving Social Security cards to millions of people who were 110, 120 years old, I kind of decided, who the heck knows what we're doing up there? No, it's an outrage. I mean, when you see the numbers over the last 3 years, the hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants who've been given Social Security cards, and again, these are not, they keep referring to people as like non-residents, like they're all here legally, and they've got work visas, and we're just giving them a Social Security card, and they're paying taxes. That is not who we're talking about. We're talking about people who got through here, applied for, as you said, got in, and applied for a Social Security card, and automatically get one. And then they're using that, and again, no identification. They mail them out to addresses that nobody knows if the person really lived there. It's just really the person that is matched up with, you know, the letter that we received, the numbers that we received, the ID that we received. None of it's matched up. So you don't even know if the people who applied actually the people who are receiving them. There's all sorts of farce going on, which is why so many people are concerned about this issue, non-citizens voting, the whole thing.
And what's stunning is that some people are pushing back against the Trump administration doing this. But, you know, I was also encouraged to see there's an article in the Daily Signal that talks about how since his inauguration day, January 20th, the Trump administration has deported more than 100,000 illegals, which is impressive in that short amount of time.
It's very impressive, and it's moving up. I think it was like 30-something thousand the first 50 days, and now they're already up to 100. And that's deporting people who are in the country. But what's also really important, Kim, is the fact how many people are turning around on their own.
Yeah,
I mean, this
point.
Time last year, you had like 137,000 people crossing the border. This year, it was 7,000. That's 130,000 fewer people even trying.
Yes.
You got record numbers of people self-deporting. And it's because... it's the message. People understand. You know, most people, including people south of the border, understand law and order. They understand rules. And they've just been following them for the past 4 years, which is our doors are open. We don't listen to what we say. Come on in. They're not stupid. But now they know, oh, guess what? The doors are closed. And I'm going to get in trouble if I cross the border. It's not going to be easy for me. So I'm not coming.
Right.
So it does show, as President, I think Trump said during his message to Congress, you know, maybe all it did take was a new president.
Yeah, well, it's true. And here we have now the mainstream media has latched on to the guy who might have been sent back wrongly by the Trump administration. They've now latched on to this. Well, he was a dad, and he was this and he was that. What he was an illegal who already had orders of deportation against him, and all the proof in the world that he was a member of the Trindade-Aragua gang. And at the last minute, a judge granted part of his amnesty request because he's a gang member who feared he might be killed by another gang. When did we start worrying about that?
Look, that's his problem in the sense that he crossed here illegally.
Yeah.
I don't even think this guy didn't even claim asylum as far as I know. Like, he's just here illegally. He's not here on asylum. I mean, this is the kind of nonsense. All these people have some sort of, this is why I had to do it. Look, he's linked to illegal behavior. And what are we going to do? We're going to allow him to stay in our country until he harms another American citizen. I mean, I'm sorry if he has to go back to his country and face the consequences of being in gangbang fights. He's a gang member, okay? So I'm sorry, yeah, you may get in trouble with other gangs. That's the way it goes. But this is not a person that I think we want in our country, frankly, that we want in our prison system. It's not good enough that they lock these people up. We don't want to be paying for that.
It's a great point. It is, because you knew the mainstream media was just waiting for that one example they could latch on to. And I'm not sure this guy should be their poster child. I just have to say, after looking at him, I'm not sure this guy should be the poster child for sure. Genevieve, I'm out of time. I always appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Yep. Genevieve Wood, heritage.org or dailysignal.com to find out more on those. All right. Good timing there, Carl. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. What are we talking about today on Kim on a Whim?
Well, there's a city that has a new idea to try to get drivers to slow down. You will not believe what they're attempting to do. It's ridiculous.
All right. So if you have downloaded the voter guide, or maybe you've just clicked on the webpage and you've looked at it, I do appreciate that. I would encourage you to do that before you go vote in Missouri next week. And one reason is because obviously important issues on there in general. But one thing that's going to happen if you're in St. Louis County is you are going to get to vote on Prop B. Are you familiar with Prop B? Do you know what it is? It's important to understand. Prop B is, I believe, necessary for primarily one reason, to kind of rein in County Executive Sam Page. Guess who doesn't want to be reined in? County Executive Sam Page. This is, in fact, this is how the wording is, and Sam and his supporters are complaining about the wording, but it basically says shall Section 22.190.3 be added to the section charter, St. Louis County, be amended to restore checks and balances, oversight, and accountability. Because, of course, the executive branch, it would authorize the removal of St. Louis County counselor or any department director by 5 of the 7 council members. So it would take a super majority in order to pull this off. And as I talk to you, I'm looking in my backpack for something I brought with me today. What is Prop B? I got this in the mail this week. What is Prop B? If you're watching on the socials, I put it up there for you. Sam Page, this is paid for. If you look at it at the bottom of it, it's paid for by St. Louis County Executive Sam Page. It says it right at the bottom of the thing. It's got his name on it, as if he paid for it out of his pocket. Page doesn't want Prop B because he doesn't want his power to be tested at all. They're now claiming that, you know, this new activist council, which of course is still controlled by Democrats, I'll point out, could come in and fire the county police chief or anybody if they did that. If a yes vote means directors could be fired, they're warning people in the middle of important emergencies like snowstorms or COVID. Now, it doesn't say COVID, but it says a public health crisis. So what you're telling me is you don't want council to have any authority over county health directors, mm-hmm, who are shutting things down.
Well, let's say they freak out over this measles outbreak and start trying to do some of the same things that they did during the COVID pandemic.
Right.
I mean, that seems far-fetched, but you can't rule stuff like that out now.
Well, there's a reason why, and we've got a copy of it here this morning. I sent it to Kim as well.
Missouri Ethics Commission.
I think he's the one that signed it and actually filed the complaint. But it's actually the complaint alleges that the law says you cannot use government resources to advocate against a countywide ballot issue. And the allegation here is that Sam Page, in a flyer that says paid for by St. Louis County Executive Sam Page, used government funds to send these flyers out to people all over the county to try to get them to vote against Prop B.
So it should have said paid for with your tax dollars.
Probably. It probably. Here's the Missouri law, 116.646. Public fund expenditures by political subdivision officer or employee prohibited and a violation and penalty. No contribution or expenditure of public funds shall be made directly by any officer, employee, or agent of a political subdivision to advocate, support, or oppose the passage or defeat of any ballot measure or the nomination or election of any candidate for public office. So it's pretty clear in the wording there that Sam Page has knowingly used hundreds of thousands of taxpayer funds to oppose Proposition B in violation of that section. So this complaint has been filed officially with the Missouri Ethics Commission. I don't know how quickly, I mean, with the election next Tuesday, I don't know how quickly they could act on this. But it was filed on the 24th day of March. I don't know why I'm just seeing it.
Well, what happens? Let's just say that they find there is reason to believe that this was in violation of what he's allowed to do. I mean, what really happens? Because the damage is done. He already spent the money, the taxpayer dollars, to send out. And it, by the way, those little things that you received in the mail, I did not receive that, to my knowledge.
Well, you wouldn't in St. Charles County.
Well, I thought you said that you received that, though you're in St. Charles County.
It was forwarded to me and addressed to my son, who still lives in St. Louis County.
Okay.
He still had our address listed as his for some reason.
Okay. So those are nice. They're thick. It's not like it's some little flimsy paper. I'm sure that costs quite a bit of money. So, I mean, at this point, what could really be done?
Well, it cost 56 cents just to mail it to me.
Well, they should say, Sam Page, why don't you take the money out of your own pocket? You know what? The money that he saved from having his property taxes not go up, despite all of his neighbors in his neighborhood, which is so odd, maybe he could use that money and pay for the things that he had everyone receive in the mail.
Here's my question. So what it claims here is that the St. Louis County Board of Police Commissioners, the St. Louis County NAACP, and the St. Louis Labor Council, AFL-CIO, plus Greater St. Louis, Inc., all oppose Proposition B. I can tell you from personal knowledge that Greater St. Louis, Inc., the St. Louis Labor Council, the AFL-CIO, and the St. Louis County NAACP are all flush with cash. Any one or all of those agencies could have paid to have these sent out, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. Sam Page did it because he wants to scare people into thinking that in the middle of the next COVID crisis, if the county council disagrees with the actions of his health director, that on a supermajority vote, they might be able to remove that person.
Mm-hmm.
Where's this power been all of our life would be my question, because we needed somebody to do that then. The governor didn't do it, and he probably should have. So Sam Page was free to wreak havoc in St. Louis County.
And nothing's been sent out on the flip side of that, right?
No, not that I've seen. I mean, I live in the land of the free now. I moved to St. Charles County, where we had to drive out there to eat during COVID because Sam Page shut down all the restaurants for no reason in St. Louis County. I mean, we don't need tyranny like that in St. Louis County. This is one attempt. If you pass Plan B, and I'm a big major yes on Prop B, this is one way that a supermajority, it would take all three Republicans plus two Democrats to get the votes they would need to take an action like that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk to Mark Harder about this in the next hour, about 8:20, the county councilman. I asked him on to talk about the ethics complaint and what he knows about how much money was spent. Potentially hundreds of thousands of your tax dollars.
Well, you think about on the federal level, when someone like Alejandro Mayorkas is not doing a good job in their role, Congress can impeach them.
Right.
And obviously it takes a certain number of votes. It's not like, oh, if just this person, you know, it's a process, right? And that's why a lot of them are not able to actually get it through, because they can't get the votes that they need in the Senate specifically. To me, this is kind of what that is on a local level. We don't have anything like that in place, because if Sam Page or whoever the county executive is, whenever they appoint these department heads, they're essentially safe from being fired, unless, to my knowledge, unless the county executive is the one who says, hey, you're doing a terrible job. And it seems like, well, there would be circumstances that have already warranted possibly that. Like I go back to the head of animal control. I'm blanking on who that is. But it's been this whole debacle with the way that the shelter was run in St. Louis County, and there were lies being spread by the head of animal control. And, well, maybe that person should have you know, had to go before council and put before a vote. Should this person still be in that position?
It's interesting. There was a time under Steve Stenger when... There was a time under Steve Stenger when you never knew who was wired and who wasn't in county headquarters over there. So maybe they need to go back to that and we'd find out a few more details.
I remember trying to chase him out of the... Gosh, he would hide. He was like Houdini coming out of those city of the county council meetings.
I had Steve on my show a few times when we did the midday show back in the day. And I think he's out of jail now. He must be back in the area. I don't know what he's
probably giving back to the community, serving at local homeless shelters and planting
maybe he could be
flowers
named
and trees.
Department director for Sam Page.
Oh, yeah, that would be fantastic.
Hey, coming up, tell us again, Kim on a Whim.
Well, so people in Chesterfield are not thrilled about these islands that were put in
yes,
to try to slow drivers down. In fact, people hate them so much they're being removed. Let me just tell you, there is a city, not in Missouri, but there is a city in the United States that has come up with, shall I call it, a creative way with dealing people who are speeding. You just have to listen to this. I'll explain here coming up in a few minutes.
Kim on a Whim.
Cities across the country have implemented all sorts of tactics to try to slow down drivers, like those annoying speed humps, or they'll narrow the lanes. In Chesterfield, they added islands, which people hated. They gave feedback, and it was so strong that they've said, okay, we'll just rip out the islands.
I hated it.
I don't remember seeing them. Do they really work?
Well, I don't know, but if they put them in there to slow traffic down, I never saw anybody pass in those lanes on the side. All I saw were police officers parked there in a little bit of a speed trap in the Clarkson Valley on occasion, or pulled somebody over into those lanes. But I have never understood what the purpose of those things were, because if you veer into one of them, you're going to pop a tire. It just makes no sense.
Well, Montgomery Township, Pennsylvania, has decided to get creative, if you will, to try to slow down drivers. And what they did was they added curvy street lines. It looks like they had a toddler. It looks like they had my son, Easton, repaint their traffic lines. This is serious. I mean, picture Abbey Lane in London, how it's the zigzag lines. But in London, well, really all over the UK, a lot of those are to indicate they're like it's near a school or some sort of a hazard in the road. You can't park here.
Right.
So there's intentionality in that way. This is such a joke, okay? You should Google a picture of this. So they're really curvy, and they're thinking that somehow drivers are going to feel the need to follow the curvature of the road and slow down. And of course, there's already pictures of drivers just blowing right past that and driving straight. No one is going to do that. This is not a game of like Mario Kart, where you're going to actually take the time to go around every little tiny curve.
So the next question is, how many taxpayer dollars did this cost for this harebrained idea?
That's a great question.
I assume their city council approved it at some point as an expenditure.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, the police department there talked about that, how there were different calming measures that had been thrown out and discussed, and that this was one of the ways that they felt they could do it. It was probably picked because they felt like it was cost effective, or they weren't having to pay to install islands or speed bumps. They could just, well, let's just redraw the lines and make it look like someone's high on something as they're trying to follow the lines.
Wow.
It's not like it's a big curve. I'm talking very curvy. I wish I could. You guys just need to Google it. It's ridiculous. I mean, seriously, is this the best we can come up with? Is this what we can expect? Is this the next thing they're going to do in Chesterfield now that they're taking out these islands, which, by the way, should be removed by, I believe, the end of this summer?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but some of the Rams settlement money in St. Louis is going to try to affect traffic speeds, correct? Aren't they trying? Isn't that part of the effort with the recommendations was to
remember.
Try to, you know, narrow traffic lanes or whatever they've done? And I don't know how effective that is. I think you probably make the tire companies like Dobbs and Firestone a lot of money because people are curbing their tires. I don't know how much it slows down traffic.
I wonder if there were a poll what people would say is the most effective way to slow down drivers, because speeding is an issue. I get irritated when I'm driving and someone just blows right past me.
Set a spare police car there with a dummy in the driver's seat, and it'll slow down traffic.
Yeah, but you're right. You're right. That actually probably would be effective.
Honestly.
But we've all been there where you see the cop car sitting there and you kind of slam on your brakes because you realize you're going 10, 15 over. You slow down to get far enough past the cop. And then, sorry, police officers, if you're listening, I like to follow the rules of the road. But then you're out of sight of the cop and you're like, well, you know, I could go back up to what I was at.
8, you're fine. 10, you're mine. Is that the rule?
No, I follow like 10, you have bigger fish to fry. I'm probably fine. I try not to go 15 over. I will push it to 10, though. On the highways, not on
4 in the morning, there's far less traffic out there.
There's very
well.
Few cars.
That's right. That's right. All right. Nice one, Kim. I'll have to take a look at that video, that picture of that one. Coming up, we're going to get to County Councilman Mark Harder. Talk more about this allegation that Sam Page has been spending taxpayer dollars to fight a countywide proposition, Prop B, that he doesn't like because it takes away some of his power. We'll get to Mark on that at about 8:20, and then Taylor Riggs from Fox Business to see how the markets are likely overreacting to Liberation Day.
Get more at 971talk.com.